and gentlemen, live from the West Coast, it's time for Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look into combat sports.
Yeah.
Brought to you by the WBO, the World Boxing Organization.
How about that?
And now, the host of the longest-running fight show in radio and internet history.
Let's get him hard.
Pedro Fernandez.
Better grab me quick before my knees give way.
Damas y caballeros, bienvenidos, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the multi-million dollar sports byline studios as this is Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Often imitated but never duplicated, my name is Pedro Fernandez. Welcome to the show. We're talking combat sports the next hour live on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, of course, Sirius XM Satellite Radio, Channel 211, and a new television broadcast on Twitch.tv. That's right, the Sports Byline USA channel. We're doing a live TV broadcast here from the studios. We'll split the show up with some Mike Tyson clips. Of course, Tyson hot in the news now. That exhibition with Roy Jones is getting all kinds of attention. Of course, Mike Tyson, the former heavyweight champion of the world. We'll talk about Mike Tyson in depth. We'll talk about the current status of the world of boxing regarding the lightweights. Of course, I think the lightweights are where it's at, lightweights and welterweights, but basically everybody wants to talk about heavyweights. All the email I get is heavyweights, 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 and Mike Tyson. So we'll spend some time talking about that. Open phone lines all around the planet. 1-800-878-7529. That's 1-800-878-7529. Get this. The more popular, guilt-free, no commitment text line, the number 415-275-1613. You people dialing internationally, let me put that out there the right way. 1-415-275-1613. That's 1-415-275-1613. That is the studio text line here at Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Of course, this is the Saturday edition coming to you live on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, Sirius XM Satellite Radio, Channel 211. Of course, man, we keep going and going, but the bottom line is, man, we're going to rock for an hour here on Sports Byline. Once again, this is Ring Talk Live Worldwide. After the break, little commentary, and of course, boxing's PhD, Mr. Socrates Palmer, exclusively on Sports Byline.
Here comes the decision now. Let's listen.
Clarity in the world of professional boxing is spelled WBO. That's right. The World Boxing Organization is boxing's only transparent sanctioned body. You can follow the WBO on Facebook or check out their website, WBOboxing.com. That's WBOboxing.com. The World Boxing Organization.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
You're irritating me now.
Can we let this soul go? Get this. Greg Adams with East Bay Soul. That's a band. EastBaySoul.com. That's the website. They're holding these Friday night front room parties, throwing concerts at Greg's house. They're putting them up on Facebook, that kind of good stuff. So go to EastBaySoul.com and check out some of that original Tower of Power stuff. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're inside looking to the world of boxing and MMA, of course. Wow, Mike Tyson in the news. You know, and I was thinking about Tyson, looking at some of these fights that we're airing now, of course, on Twitch.tv. You've got the split screen, me in the studio, and, of course, Mike Tyson's knockouts on the big screen here. And I'm thinking about the Mike Tyson team. I mean, back in the days, it was a weird team. There was Custy Amato. Of course, he was the guy that invented the peekaboo style, was sort of protecting Mike Tyson's chin as well as Floyd Patterson's. Maybe they had susceptible chins, and guess what? Cuss knew it. Anyway, Cuss was partners with Jim Jacobs. Jim Jacobs ran big fight films, big fights, I think it was what was called, a big fight film company. Of course, he had most of the fight films from the beginning of the century, from the beginning of televised or the beginning of film boxing. So he was a historian. He was also the world handball champion. But there was a unique aspect to the relationship between Gus D'Amato and Jim Jacobs. They lived in a studio apartment together in New York City for almost 4 years. I mean, you know, the studio is a little small. These guys both got money. Okay, and my
whole feeling on that one was that, you know, Castillo-Amato had married some lady named Camille, or was about to marry. Anyway, bottom line is she was a beard, and that there was a relationship going on between Cuss and Jim Jacobs. Of course, that was always kept in the dark. And of course, Jim Jacobs would die. He was manager of Wilfred Benitez, Mike Tyson, to name just a few other guys. But the bottom line is Jacobs and Castillo-Amato, they had Mike Tyson in a good spot at one point in time. They did. I mean, Mike was sort of a semi under control. But once Castillo-Amato died, the world flipped on Mike Tyson. Mike didn't have that confidence anymore. Of course, the confidence that he thought he had in the Mike and Don King. Of course, he and Don King would go back and forth, but I couldn't get a kick out of Mike Tyson. He said that Don King stole all my money, and yet I think he got out of jail with like $45 million. So how could have Don King have stolen all his money? Anyway, Kevin Rooney and all those guys, I mean, I was, you know, the entire corner there. But probably the funniest thing I was thinking about with Kevin Rooney, of course, Jay Bright now carries on the Tyson tradition, the Bill Caton tradition, with Jim Jacobs. Of course, he ran that big fights. He was one of the producers of Brain, Skill, and Guts. But Teddy Atlas, the best thing Jay Bright ever did was make blueberry pie. Ooh, that's a cold shot. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're inside looking at the world of boxing and MMA from the West Coast to the East Coast. We go to the Bronx and bring in, of course, boxing's only PhD, Mr. Socrates Palmer. How are you today, sir?
I'm doing great, Pedro. How are you feeling?
I'm doing all right. I mean, I'm looking at the WBA now for the World of Bunko and Anarchy, and we are sponsored by the World Boxing Organization. I do want to mention that. But they've got like three titles at 147 pounds. I don't know how they can do it, but they did it. Tell me, what's new in your mind? What's new in the world of boxing? What's on the PhD's mind?
What's on the PhD's mind? Well, I am looking forward to some competitive fights for a change. Fights that you actually have to, you know, think to see who's going to actually come out on top. I think that we have some competitive fights coming on this evening with Thomas Delorme and James fighting for one of the WBA trinkets. You know, to borrow a word from Brian Kenny. I think it's a decent fight. And hopefully the coronavirus doesn't prevent some other big fights from happening. Jorge Linares has to drop out. He was going to fight, Javier Fortuna. That one was scrapped, and just want to see some good action for a change.
The trinket tag came from the Hall of Famer Jack Fisk. That's where it originally originated at, and I know that.
Jack Fisk. Okay.
Yeah, Jack came up with that one, man. Jack was really, you know, I got a kick out of Jack's column because people would read it on the telephone to other people around the world. This is the honest to God truth. The referee that died, he was a vice president, JJ, I can't think of his last name right now. Anyway, he used to have the secretary from Top Rank, no matter where he was in the world, have her read Jack Fisk's column to him when he called in on the phone. I kid you not, because we didn't get it everywhere. Of course, it was only in the SF Chronicle. But, man, I miss the Hall of Fame. Of course, I named my daughter Jacqueline after him. But Jack Fisk, Saturdays and Tuesdays in the SF Chronicle. Man, but he came over with the trinket thing. So I didn't mean to interrupt you, Mr. PhD. Go on. I'm sorry.
No. A long time ago, a second grade teacher I had, Sister Jones, said you have one mouth and two ears, so you're supposed to listen twice as much as you talk. And I always remember that. So I appreciate that schooling there. I was not aware that it was Mr. Fisk that came up with that originally.
Okay. Are these out fights tonight? Sorry. Jamal James and Thomas Duwalemi, is that an out fight? I mean, even though it's for an interim title, isn't Duwalemi's a bit of an underdog here?
I mean, I expect a competitive fight. Delorme has been around. He actually was, I'm not sure if he still is, but he was driving an Uber cab, you know, just to make ends meet when he was under the Money Team promotional banner. I don't know if his contract is still there with them. I like Delorme. Sometimes, though, you don't know if he's there to actually win or just pick up a check. You know, he's kind of hot and cold. I remember when he fought Ugas, it was a fight that he could have won, but just didn't do enough. And James, I think the jury's still out. You know, I think Jamal James, I think this is his first big test, and let's see what happens. The real champion of the WBO at 147 is Manny Pacquiao.
And, WBA. WBA is 147 and Pacquiao. Crawford is WBO, I believe.
Yes, right. Crawford. And you have big names. You know, Crawford and Spence has the other two, the IBF and the BC. So, you know, it's a great neighborhood to be in if you want to make some money. So let's see if Mr. James is the real deal.
Okay. Speaking
of... just like I said, disappointed at Linares.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, speaking of guys having to do Uber and that kind of good stuff, I know musicians, and I won't mention their names. I mean, these are musicians that appear in front of 40 and 50,000 people. They're actually doing Amazon, working for Amazon just to get out of the house. They're absolutely going stir crazy. They can't handle it.
Hey, I tell you what. I mean, we are in an era that there are so many ways to make an honest buck. You know, it's unbelievable. I mean, like you said, you mentioned Uber, Amazon, food delivery, and it's a good side hustle. I mean, the world is a lot smaller because of technology. I mean, I saw a 10-year-old that made over $100,000 just playing video games, you know, so it's a new world.
Okay, here's a question for you. You mentioned era just now. Can you compare different eras of boxing? Is that fair to compare different eras of boxing? I mean, now we've got heavyweights where in Joe Louis's day, heavyweights were probably 190 pounds, with the exception of Primo Carnera. And now heavyweights rank, you know, around 240, 250 pounds. So it's not the same division. Can you compare the divisions from different eras?
I would say yes, up until you get to heavyweight, because there is no limit in terms of the heavyweight weight class. And that's the beauty of boxing, that it's, you know, the history can be traced, you know, when, you know, Sugar Ray Robinson was 147 pounds. Is he the greatest welterweight of all time compared to, let's say, just to throw out the name Mayweather? You know, so that's the beauty of boxing. They both weighed at the same weight at one time. The heavyweight division, like you said, Rocky Marciano today would be a cruiserweight and a small cruiserweight at that. You know, so it's no. I don't think it's fair in the heavyweight division, but in the other weight classes, I believe so.
Okay, because
boxing at the end of the day, it's two fists. You know, it's not like in tennis. You know, they're using a lighter equipment. You know, than a lighter racket. In baseball, you know, Babe Ruth swung a 52-ounce bat. You know, and he was drinking beer as opposed to getting shots of, you know, Andro. You know, so you can compare in boxing, I believe.
Good enough. You're tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Check it. You're inside looking at the world of boxing, MMA. Of course, we come to you live on SiriusXM Satellite Radio, Channel 211, SportsByline.com, iHeartRadio, and, of course, Twitch.tv, showing the Mike Tyson knockouts, a split screen right now. But the Mike Tyson knockouts, and, God, and when he went on that knockout run, he was just knocking out every stiff in front of him. And were they stiffs? Yes, a lot of them were. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Mighty Tower of Power Horns bringing us back from the break. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide, the Saturday edition. Of course, Saturday and Sunday is 11 a.m. Pacific time. The Saturday show is an hour in duration. The Sunday show is 2 hours in duration. Of course, Saturdays we feature the boxing's only PhD, Mr. Socrates Palmer. And on Sundays, we bring in you the retired HBO godfather, Mr. Larry Merchant, Mr. Hall of Famer himself. So don't forget, Ring Talk Live Worldwide, Saturdays and Sundays, 11 a.m. Pacific time, or you can catch the delayed broadcast at Anchor.com. That's right. Ring Talk Live Worldwide has podcasts at Anchor.com. Now back to the East Coast and the Bronx. Mike Tyson and Roy Jones making a lot of noise. Is that because there's nothing on the agenda? Is that why this is such a big event, or would it be a big event without, if everything was normal?
I think a little bit of both. I mean, it's also the fact of who they are. I mean, these are two legendary fighters. Two of the biggest names of the last 30 years of boxing. Guys that have had crossover success. Not too many fighters could do that, could say that. You know, Mike Tyson's a pop culture icon, bigger than the sport itself at one point. Even, you know, Roy Jones had his run. I mean, he was had his fame as big as any athlete at one point, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's a. I mean, you can go either way. I mean, you can knock it as well, but I'm celebrating it. I'm glad these two guys are, you know, getting one more time, one more opportunity in the spotlight. And I'm assuming they're cashing a pretty good sized check, because I don't think either one of them will be doing it for free. And I just hope that no one gets hurt and that it does happen.
You know, I'm looking at Mike Tyson's Greatest Knockouts on the Twitch.tv broadcast that we were airing simultaneously with the studio broadcast. And I'm looking at Mike Tyson knocking out Marvis Frazier, and then Larry Holmes had knocked out Marvis Frazier. You know, Larry should have been booked for attempted murder that night, and Joe Frazier should have been put in jail for child abuse. What do you think?
Yeah. Marvis, unfortunately, you know, if his last name is Smith, he probably doesn't get, you know, that opportunity to fight Larry Holmes. You know, it's one of those things that maybe the father wanted it more than the son, you know, but, you know, Marvis had his, 15 minutes of fame, and I think he's pretty coherent even after taking those two hellacious beatings, you know.
But they were quick style. Speaking of beatings, of course, Mike Tyson was chased around the past week by TMZ. This is what he had to say.
I am so excited to see that you're back in the game, man. How does it feel?
I feel wonderful.
Yo, you know, you're a true knockout artist. Everybody wants to know, is this going to be a knockout, a Mike Tyson knockout fight?
Hey, if the opportunity comes, I'm always looking for it.
What round are we talking?
We have to come and see.
All right, you know, because, you know, George Foreman was saying he's a little worried that one of you guys might get hurt in there. Like, what do you have to say to George?
I don't know. He wasn't worried about getting hurt when he went on his tour of coming back.
Right.
And fighting. So don't worry about us. And tell George I love him for caring.
Oh, yeah, that's absolutely. You know, this is a big-time training that you got to do. It's an intense training program. But I also know that you love, you know, you love to smoke weed. Have you had to give that up in order to do the training?
Hey, listen. My total dedication is to fighting right now and doing this exhibition. I'm prepared to go 8 rounds, and I'm going to show the world.
Everybody's excited about this. You've got so many top-notch celebs are excited about this. Have you been training with any big-name fighters or anything? Like, have you talked to Floyd Mayweather or anything like that?
Hey, listen, I just went on my journey to go on this mission, and a lot of people giving their comments, which I'm very grateful for. But like I said before, it's a search and destroy, and I'm looking forward to capturing my glory. Thank you.
Absolutely. You're going to be on top of the fighting game again?
Hey, I'm looking forward to finishing these exhibitions and helping these charities out, which I'm looking forward for.
Right.
That's what I'm pretty much embracing and embarked on. But the fighting game is what I'm about, and hurting people is what
absolutely.
I'm about.
Absolutely. And, you know, when George says he's worried, when are you going to get hurt? Are you more concerned about Roy getting hurt in this fight than you?
Listen, I'm not concerned. We're both professionals. We know how to handle ourselves.
Right.
And what happens, happens.
Wow. Mike Tyson just telling it like it is. Of course, he and the an exhibition. Let me tell you what an exhibition is, okay? I found out what an exhibition was one time when I stepped into the ring. I guess I was about like 11 years old, and we had this fight at the boys club, and they told me it was an exhibition, and I thought that, you know, an exhibition, man, he went out there and tried to kill me. So there's no such thing as an exhibition as far as when guys and egos and manhood gets challenged in this nest. So I think the Mike Tyson, Roy Jones thing will be great for as long as it lasts. Now, switching gears, August 29th, Mr. Boxing PhD, of course, live on ESPN+. Jose Ramirez defend the unified WBO junior welterweight title against Victor Postal. Is this a fight that is this Ramirez? Tell me about Ramirez. He's unbeaten, good looking fighter.
Ramirez is a good fighter, great for television. He gets hit. He does hit the hitting. Had a couple of good wars with I forget the kid's name. The last of Don King's fighters. Anyways, you know, he's a good fighter. He stopped shoot.
Man, are you smoking? No. Time out.
I wish I was. You know what it is? Truthfully, I just came from the dentist.
You're Uzi.
Anyway, I'm not punchy. I'll tell you that much. But Jose Ramirez is a very good fighter. I think Postel at one point was a really good fighter himself. But Terrence Crawford dissected him. He hasn't fought in a while. So I look forward to this fight that should have happened, I believe, last year. and that was supposed to happen in Macau, was it?
Yeah. Yeah, you know, switching gears here, I didn't know if I told you this, but, you know, Errol Spence and Danny Garcia, if something happens to Danny Garcia, I've got Cuddy training. I mean, we're gonna put Cuddy in. Cuddy's gonna be standing step in for Danny Garcia if something happens against Errol Spence. That's how vulnerable I think Errol Spence is. If I can make the weight, I'd do it.
Well, I mean, I saw a picture with Errol Spence, and he looked like he had man boobs going on. Like, I don't know how, you know, what, you know, how much in shape he's been keeping himself, because I mean, aside from that horrendous car accident, like, when, you know, was he able to resume, you know, training, you know, and intense championship level training. So I think Danny has a very good chance of winning, and it's almost it could be a no win, because I mean, if Danny Garcia wins, oh, he beat a guy that just, you know, became a human crash dummy, you know, so it's a tough night for Danny Garcia, win, lose, or draw.
Okay, boxing.
And if you lose, then he lost to a guy that, you know, basically shouldn't maybe never be fighting again.
Okay. Boxing politics, August 22nd on The Zone. Dillian White taking on Alexander Povetkin for the WBC interim heavyweight title. Haven't they both tested positive for Flintstone vitamins?
Yes, they have. Yes, they have. So it's an even fight, I guess, right? You know, Dillian White really played himself by having that positive test, because he was really on the rise. His stock was up. He's an exciting fighter to watch. Povetkin, very sharp fighter at one point, you know, in the conversation of the two or three best heavyweights in the world. Don't know how much is left in the tank. He had a good war his last time out. And it could be a very competitive fight, because Dillian White normally is in entertaining fights. You know, they're guys that on that B level of the heavyweight division, but I expect a good fight.
Emmanuel Navarrete Martinez, Vaquero is what they call him, 32-1, 28 KOs, moved up from 122 to 126, going to fight for the WBO 126-pound title against Jesse Magdaleno, 28-1, 18 KOs. Is this a worthy, can Jesse fight? I see the record, but is Jesse worthier?
I believe so. I mean, he's got the one loss. He comes from a boxing family. He's won a few fights since his last loss. The common opponent was Dogbay, I believe, correct?
Yep.
And Navarrete, you know, whipped up on Dogbay twice, and Dogbay beat Magdaleno. So Navarrete, it's amazing how he was able to keep 122 pounds for that long. I'm interested in seeing how he's going to transition at 126. I think he's going to be just fine. I think he's probably going to be stronger than ever. And I just see him as a buzzsaw, you know, against a guy like Magdaleno, who's not a big puncher. And I think he'll probably do good up until midway, and then Navarrete just breaks you down, man. The guy is a buzzsaw who does not stop punching.
No doubt about
that. I don't know if Magdaleno.
True. But I will say this about Mr. Navarrete. There were some guys at 122 that he could have fought, and he moved up to 126. I thought a little bit too quick. I thought he and Vargas would have been the fight, man. 34-0, Vargas out of Mexico, he out of Mexico. That would have been a natural. I mean, he gives me the indication he didn't want to fight Vargas.
Sometimes, yeah. I mean, sometimes it's not the fighter. Sometimes management itself will say, hey, you know what? Certain guys you should steer away from, especially if the money is not worth it. But you're right. That would have been a barn burner. I'm sure they could have packed the house in Mexico. But who knows? Maybe they'll meet down the line at 126. There's still some great names.
Yeah, I told you one of the reasons Mike Tyson fought in Tennessee against Lennox Lewis was they didn't give marijuana tests, okay? They didn't do any weed testing. You heard in that TMZ test thing there where the guy brought up some weed. This is an exhibition. Mike Tyson doesn't have to go totally clean on this one. Besides, it's called medical marijuana for a reason.
That's right. He gets the medical pass. That's right.
No doubt
it's
about it.
It's constitutional right.
Sock, you have a great week. All the best to you. God bless. Say hello to the family and the agent.
Thank you very much, brother. Appreciate it. Enjoy your weekend.
The Bronx Bomber, Socrates Palmer, on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network.
comes the decision now. Let's listen.
Clarity in the world of professional boxing is spelled WBO. That's right. The World Boxing Organization is boxing's only transparent sanctioned body. You can follow the WBO on Facebook or check out their website, WBOboxing.com. That's WBOboxing.com. The World Boxing Organization.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
I'm just ready to get it on and crush this guy's skull.
Should I go to the police station?
Something from the Tower of Power about a year and a half ago on the Soul Side of Town. They've released another LP or album or CD or digital release, whatever you want to call it. I don't know. Check them out. TowerOfPower.com. They are rocking and rolling. Emilio Castillo and his group, of course, together 51 years now. 51 years. Good Lord! That makes me even older than 51. You are tuned to Ring Talk live worldwide. You're inside looking the world of boxing and MMA. Before we get to MMA, let's talk about some of these odds here. Of course, they put odds on the exhibition, the September 12th exhibition, of course, on pay-per-view. I'm talking about Mike Tyson, of course, and Roy Jones Jr. Mike Tyson, a minus 180 favorite. Roy Jones, a plus 150 underdog. Deontay Wilder and Tyson Fury, if they hook it up, of course, for the third time around. I'm talking about doing this at the MGM Grand sometime, maybe in November. Deontay Wilder, a plus 220 underdog. And Tyson Fury, a minus 270 favorite. Pretty good. Manny Pacquiao and Mikey Garcia, they're talking about making this fight. They should make this fight. I mean, it's a good fight for both guys. And get Manny Pacquiao a guy that I think he could possibly beat. I mean, although Mikey's a good technician, Pacquiao's got that weird style, shooting from the left side, coming in with those left crosses, the little quick right jabs, jumping in and out. He can still jump in and out better than anybody in boxing, whether he's 41 years old or not. 45 years old, 46 years old, man, the guy still jumps in and out faster than most people can, and they don't catch him coming in. So the bottom line is Pacquiao, I think, deserves to be the favorite over Mikey Garcia. Anthony Joshua and Tyson Fury, if they hook it up, sportsbooks say that Tyson Fury is a minus 200 favorite. Of course, Anthony Joshua, a plus 150 underdog. Anthony Joshua being the current WBA, WBO, and IBF heavyweight title holder. And, of course, then Mr. Tyson Fury holds the WBC title and the Linear Championship. And what is the Linear Championship? The Linear Championship means that when historians go back and look at boxing time, they will say that this man passed the title to this man, to this man, to this man. In other words, the Linear title is what Ali and these guys are fighting for now, were fighting for back then. Ali, Tyson, Julio Cesar Chavez held Linear titles, Marvin Hagler held Linear titles, Sugar Ray Leonard held Linear titles. Bottom line is, Linear basically means undisputed regardless of the belts. Now, tonight's fights. I take that back. Let's not go quick tonight this quick. I'm excited about a fight that's going to take place, of course, in Australia. Why? Because the Aussies are great fight fans. They listen to the show. I mean, they're rabid fight fans, no doubt about that. But, of course, they're going to get Jeff Horn and Tim Zhu. Tim Zhu being the son of Kashi Zhu, the former junior welterweight champion of the world, of course, now fighting at 154 pounds. Jeff Horn lost a 1-2 Manny Pacquiao. You know, he beat Manny Pacquiao at 140. So bottom line is, he's not really a 154-pounder, so Zhu's going to have a tremendous size and age advantage here, and I think he's going to win, no doubt about that. Jamal James, tonight, going, of course, we talked about that on The Zone. But the bottom line is, this is going to rock and roll. Jamal James is a minus 150 favorite in that WBA title fight. Thomas Dwalemi is a plus 130 underdog. The under the over is like minus 330, over 10.5 rounds, minus 330. It means they think it's going the distance. And under 10.5 rounds, plus 265. So if you're a knockout guy, I don't know. These guys punch too well. But the bottom line is, that is the world of boxing. And the other fight is like a 90-1 fight. I mean, it's like 100-1. I don't even know why they Lennox Allen's like a minus 1090 favorite. And the other guy's a plus 745 favorite. So he's a 10-1, 11-1 underdog, and they're putting this on TV, calling it a WBA interim super middleweight title fight. I kid you not. That is what the WBA is calling it. And you wonder why I call the WBA, regardless of who my sponsors are, the world of Bunko and Anarchy, because they are. Now, the UFC, of course, they're rocking and rolling. They got another show tonight in Las Vegas. That'll be on ESPN, of course, in the main event. The man that beat Francis Ngannou the last time, Derek Lewis, will be taking on Alex Essie Olenek, who is basically a Mark. That's the best way I could put this. When I say by Mark, I mean guy that's going to get, going to get drilled big time, getting drilled probably fast, going to make Derek Lewis like a killer, and Derek Lewis is probably going to win this fight. As far as the rest of the card is concerned, the former world middleweight champion, Chris Weidman, the guy that I beat to beat, that I picked to beat the Filipino wrecking machine back in the day because, you know, he had never lost a fight. He had never been taken off his feet. I mean, at one point in time, Chris Weidman was untouchable, okay? Untouchable. Then he got beat. Once you get beat in the world of MMA, you're never the same. A Weidman, I thought, was a little bit, how can we put this? Punchy. Yeah, straight up punchy. He's going to fight some guy named Omari Akameyev, and that's going to be a middleweight fight. Of course, that's 185 pounds. Good luck to Chris Weidman there, because I think Chris is damaged from the sport. Darren Stewart and Maki Foto, Maki Bioto, going to be a middleweight fight. A women's bantamweight bout on the card. Yana Kusanaka taking on Julia Stolarenko. That's pretty good. And a catchweight fight, Bernate Darush and Scott Holtzman. Of course, that's all on ESPN+. Plus. And then the preliminary card will be on ESPN as well. Tim Means is on that. But it's not listen, they don't have any talent. They just don't have the talent. I mean, they want the talent. They say we got all the money. I mean, Dana's got all the money. But Dana be pimping. I've told you this before. I mean, if Dana was a pimp, Dana couldn't make it on the street. Man, the girls would run him out of town. There's no doubt about it. Because I'm looking at the rest of the UFC card for the year, and ho-hum. Stipe Miocic and Daniel Cormier for the third time. Nobody's getting excited about that. You probably got to take about, what is the average dose for Viagra? 100 milligrams? You probably have to take like 500 milligrams to really get up for that one. Because the bottom line is, both guys, Miocic, even though he's the world heavyweight champion, he's never become a superstar per se in the sport. Cormier, they call him a superstar, but, he lost to John Jones, not once, but twice. Of course, John Jones testing positive for Flintstone vitamins, one of those two encounters. But the bottom line is, I thought he was fortunate to win the World Heavyweight Championship and knock out Miocic. Miocic being a boxer, per se, and he got caught with a shot to the chin, which I thought was, he wasn't suspecting, with a hook of a shot. And you got to give Cormier credit for weighing like 245, 240. I mean, he was big, and he still beat Stipe Miocic. But I don't get excited about these fights anymore. When I look at these cards now, what I look for is I look for undercard upsets, because basically there's not, the upper echelon of the UFC, that basically all these fights are going the way that they want them to go. I'm talking about the UFC. So Stipe Miocic and Daniel Cormier, that's going to be probably go Miocic again. And of course, Cormier, good fighter, no doubt about that. I mean, he's getting close to 40 years old now, a national wrestling champion, Pan Am Games, all that kind of good stuff. But, Father Time doesn't wait for anybody. Now, later in the year, of course, Khabib comes back. Yikes. What a monster. I'm talking about Khabib. We just call him Khabib. Khabib Nurmagomedov. Anyway, the bottom line, he's taking on Justin Gaethje. Justin Gaethje won the interim title a while back. And, of course, that one's Khabib decided he wasn't able to fight because his father had died and the COVID virus and this kind of good stuff. But Khabib wants to have these two fights. He wants to fight Justin Gaethje, and then, of course, he wants to take on GSP. We had GSP on a little clip of him on the show a couple of weeks ago. Of course, he talked about not wanting to come back at 40 years old, doesn't want to put his body through that. And then, I could tell you about training. I'm running, and I'm hitting somewhat of a bag and that kind of good stuff, and I'm losing to my shadow every day as far as shadow boxing is concerned. So you can want to come back, but once you get to a certain age, wants one hand and reality is in the other. And guess what? Reality is going to win here, and I just don't think that GSP wants to come back. But Khabib wants to fight after Justin Gaethje. He expects to destroy and maul Justin Gaethje. Of course, this is going to go down October the 24th with a site to be determined. Probably going to do this over in, like, Dubai and or a Muslim country, because, he likes to fight in front of his people. More power to him. Khabib's cool on that. And you know what? You can say what you want about people being religious zealots, because I think he is a bit of a religious zealot, but he's true to his game. I mean, he's true to being a Muslim, and I give him all the props in the world for that, no doubt about that. But Khabib's a monster. Never lost a fight in his life. Some people say he's never lost a round in the gym. Never lost. And that's what they say down there at the American Kickboxing Academy, down there in Silicon Valley, USA. He's never lost a round practicing in the gym. So he's never lost a round. He's never lost a fight. Some people say he's 24-0. Some people say he's 28-0. Some people say he's 30-0. Bottom line is, the O is there. And Justin Gaethje, good fighter, but he's going to be lunch meat. I kid you not, UFC 254. But next year, the fight with GSP, I think the seeds are being planted. GSP will come back for that one fight. I think he's got a bit of a size advantage, at least he thinks, over Khabib. But Khabib's not a 155-pounder. As I told you before, he weighs in at 155, and then he comes into the octagon, to this cage that they fight in, at 175 pounds, which is totally unfair. I mean, just it's not cool. I mean, we're not even talking about boxing, where your physical will can be imposed with your hands. We're talking about when your physical will is laying on top of somebody in an MMA fight. I mean, Khabib gets a guy on the ground, he outweighs him by 25 pounds. You're all of a sudden, you're pushing on a guy that's two weight classes bigger than you. This, it's not fair. It's just not fair. And I've said this before, of course, the UFC doesn't care. The UFC is a pimp plantation. This is my opinion. It's always been that way, okay? I mean, the Fertittas, Frank and Lorenzo Fertitta, they ran a successful casino chain, no doubt about that, and they still do. They're successful businessmen. I mean, Lorenzo was smart enough to get on the Nevada City Athletic Commission and plant the seed for MMA before he actually became the owner of the UFC. So, I mean, he was a smart dude. There was no doubt about it. He plotted everything out. And of course, he took a million-dollar business and turned it into, like, I think they paid like $1.5 million for the UFC, somewhere around that, back in 93, something back in the 90s, and early part of the century, I take that back. And they sold it recently for $4.2 billion, or $4,200 million. That's a lot of money. I thought it was a pink elephant. I think that whoever bought it got took, but that's on them, right? Anyway, bottom line is, UFC doesn't look promising to me as far as the future is concerned, and I think they need superstars badly. Of course, Amanda Nunes, she's talking about retiring, the double champion, 135 and 145-pound champion. Of course, that means bantamweight and featherweight. And, of course, the former champion at 125 and 135, he decided, I mean, listen, everybody wants to get out. I mean, even Conor McGregor says, unless you give me the right money, I don't want to come back. I mean, Jorge Masvidal, he had to blackmail Dana White and cut 23 pounds in 6 days in order to make the money that he made a fortnight ago. Of course, he had to step into that fight the last minute against Usamu. I mean, so what are you going to say? UFC is not rocking and rolling. Back to boxing. Boxing is going to be hot and rolling. I think boxing will, once boxing gets on its game, and of course, it's starting to get on its game. We've got the Ramirez Postalga fight coming up pretty soon. Of course, Emmanuel Navarrete moving up to 126. And I'm still against that. I really am. I thought that he should have cleaned house at 122, especially against another Mexican superstar. Would have built up the biggest fight in Mexico. Put both these guys on the same card defending their titles against me and Cuddy. So you know they're going to win. Okay. So you defend that, right? Get guys that they can beat. Put them on the same card. And then you come back with them later. And promoters just don't do that anymore. This is an old Don King, Bob Arum trick. Was that, you know, you put the two guys you eventually want to fight on the same card fighting other guys and they both win and then you step up and you fight them the next card out, the next pay-per-view. That's how you promote things. But in today's world with these different factions, when I say factions like PBC and Al Heyman and Bob Arum and Top Rank and Don King, rumored to be trying to get back in the mix. I saw a couple interviews with him this week. We'll try to reach out to him tonight, if not tomorrow. So, you know, what can I say? Boxing is, it's going to come back. It's going to come back because I think it's made for television. It's the perfect sport made for television. You don't have to have a tremendous audience in the crowd to figure out what's going on. I mean, boxing is basically self-explanatory. Unlike professional wrestling, I don't think that can come back without an audience. I don't. I think you need the audience there for the emotion, to play it back and forth, you know, the good guy, the bad guy, oh, the boos, the ahs, all that kind of good stuff. Without a crowd, can't do that in the world of professional wrestling. It just looks like two guys out there, basically two marks. So, I mean, the WWEs are trying all kinds of crazy stuff. AEW is trying to make wrestling exciting again. Good luck with that. I think they scored like 1.5 million as far as their viewers were concerned. Someone take it back. 900,000 viewers this past week, where WWE was down around 500,000 viewers. So straight up, the world of wrestling, not in good shape right now. It's not, you know, and they had an opportunity, I thought, if they could have mixed a little history in with things early on. In other words, you know, like mix some old matches in with the new matches, this and that. Like tonight, we'll have this, and then we'll have, Scott Cuddy taking on The Undertaker from 1985. Stuff like that. But the WWE is not creative in that way. I just don't know what to say. Bottom line is McMahon selling all his stock. If you own WWE stock, sell it now!
What happens, happens. Right stuff, baby. Love the way you turn me on. You got the right stuff, baby. You're the reason why.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Pedro offers you his protection.
I stand corrected. The Jamal James Thomas Duwalemi fight is going to be on Fox tonight, of course, August 8th. Check out your TV listing for that. Of course, Dave Morrell versus Lennox Allen in a WBA interim super middleweight bout as well. Of course, he's like a 90-1 favorite there. Or anyway, bottom line, a 10-1 favorite. August the 11th, ESPN comes back, ESPN Plus, with Joan O'Carroll and Max Hughes. You are tuned in. Of course, ESPN, I take that back. ESPN Plus is going to go tonight with the USC. So the USC is on ESPN Plus tonight if you want to watch that. Speaking of the ESPN Plus, they sent me a note this week that the ESPN Plus app is going up from $4.99 to $5.99, but because I'm a subscriber already, they're not going to charge you another buck for a year. So in 2021, I guess it's going up to $5.99 a month, which is still a pretty good deal. I mean, kid you not, considering, you know, the zone's now going to go up to $20. For all of us that have been there at $10, eventually it's going to go up to $20, and the zone's really not delivering. Of course, they just aren't. I mean, blame the pandemic, say what you want, but the bottom line is, The zone is not delivering. They're going to try to come back on the 14th with a guy named Felix Cash and Jason Wellborn. They'll be fighting in middleweight. Of course, the 15th, they come back with the pound-for-pound woman's king, Cecilia Brake is taking on Jessica Maskakil. That's a pretty good fight there. And, of course, the 15th, Showtime's going to come back with David Benavidez, co-kid. I shouldn't say that. The WBC super middleweight champion, of course, out of Central California, had that cocaine problem. I thought he was like on a rocket, the superstardom, man. But then coke got involved. Anytime coke gets involved, things happen. Not for the better, anyway. Bottom line is, this is Ring Talk Live Worldwide. My name is Pedro Fernandez. The show is produced by Scott Cuddy. I thank you so much for tuning into this, the Saturday edition of Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Whether it's live Saturday to Sunday at 11 a.m. Pacific time, Saturday for an hour, Sunday for 2 hours live on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, SiriusXM, Satellite Radio, Channel 211, and a plethora of other internet platforms. Bottom line is, our podcasts are at anchor.com. This is Ring Talk. My name is Pedro Fernandez. You can be doing a million things right now, and I thank you so much for listening to the Sports Byline Broadcast Network.